Again, a very lengthy discussion yesterday on reclassification that you can find at KatyCountry94.com on our podcast. Spent a lot of time talking about what that means. A lot of it was for 1A schools because they seem to obviously have the most opposition to that. So we kind of focused on that, why they would have opposition to that. But coming up here later in the sports ticket, we're going to tell you about a couple 1A coaches that actually kind of like the change back to the way it kind of was, where, you know, we're going to see a more competitive state tournament more than likely in basketball and just things of that nature. We'll talk about that coming up. But first, we're going to start our discussion today on classification, reclassification, the Kansas State High School Activities Association, talking to a couple area athletic directors. We'll start first with Brock McMillan of Rock Hills High School. He's also the football coach there. And then we'll back that up with Kyle Beisner, the athletic director at Beloit Junior Senior High School. So stay tuned. We're going to play these back-to-back. You'll hear from those two, and then we'll come in after that with a lot more information on maybe some of the changes that you'll see as far as competition is concerned with teams moving down from 4A to 3A, 3A to 2A, and other things of that nature. That's all coming up on the Sports Ticket. We're going to start first, though, with our interviews, talking with some area folks. Welcome back on Katy Country 94 Sports. We're joined now by Brock McMillan. He's the athletic director and head football coach at Rock Hills High School. Talking a little bit about this new reclassification that came out from the Kansas State High School Activities Association on Wednesday. Just kind of wanted to get thoughts from other area athletic directors instead of just me talking and everybody trying to listen to what I have to say about it. I'm only affected as a media member. You guys, Brock, are affected as schools that are competing and doing things in these activities in Class 1A right now. So overall thoughts, what does this do for Rock Hills High School as far as the new classification that just in the general activities that would put 117 schools into that 1A class?
Well, you know, there's some pluses to it, and there's also some you know, negatives that are going to cause some frustration probably from people around the area and from our league in general. But you know, anytime you pool 117 schools in there, and you know, you're gonna have some of those teams taken out because of cooperatives. But that's going to be a large sample size, and it'll frustrate you a little bit when you're going to look at other divisions that have, you know, the 30s and 40 team classes, and you're going to think, well, how is this fair? How does this stack up? But you know, like you noted earlier, something had to be done where some of the different state tournaments that were taking place were kind of a low point for 1A sports, and so I think the general consensus around the area was, you know, something really needed to be changed there. But if there was only a way that you could kind of balance out the numbers over, you know, all the classes and maybe have some of those high 1As filtering back into 2A and balancing that number out just a little bit where you don't have to sit here and look at, you know, some of the classes that have 30 to 40 teams in them. And I think that's probably where a lot of the frustration will come from. But, you know, as far as it affects us, you know, just it's going to be kind of weird going back to the regional format again in basketball and things like that, but I think it'll probably be good as far as what you're going to see, you know, come March and state tournament time. I think that's going to really truly put those you know, those top teams, because you know, thinking back over the last 3 or 4 years, and noted on this earlier, some of these state tournaments, it wasn't just the 1A Division II. Sometimes it was the Division I tournaments that were having some of those things go on. But now you're going to get your teams like St. John's Tipton and the you know, the Sharon Spring Wallace County schools. They're going to be in the mix with these Division I schools, and I think that's just going to create just a better atmosphere and a lot more competitiveness. And you know, the best teams are going to prevail. So I think it frustrates some with just the numbers point of view, but it's also going to put your best teams kind of all together, and you're going to see some really good basketball, in my opinion.
Take me back to the Brock McMillan high schooler who competed in 1A and actually had to compete with the way it's going to be now, where you had regionals and then you had to get into sub-state and get to state in that way. I think you were a part of the Jewel White Rock team that made it. I don't know how much you played there that year, but you played with Jewel by yourself with low numbers and had to compete against some pretty high number teams. What is that like for you and just kind of thinking back on your high school days on how that process went?
Well, in my opinion, that's going to make things a lot more enjoyable for a lot of people, because every year, you know, no matter where you go, you have people saying, oh, this team from this sub-state made it, and they were 7-16 or whatever. That regional format does a really good job, in my opinion, of weeding some of those out where even if you do have, like, for example, this year with the St. John's Tipton and Osborne, the same sub-state, you, those two teams meet up at a regional, you know, they're going to get battled out, and they're still both going to be able to go on, whereas, you know, now where they're meeting up in a sub-state, only one team prevails for that state tournament. So I think that's going to help weed out some of those teams that aren't going to be able to go, you know, win four or five games and then somehow squeak through a sub-state and get into the state tournament. I think that, you know, looking back over the last 10, 15 years, I think that really helped then. And then I just think those regional tournaments are going to help the cause quite a bit. And I don't think we'll probably hear quite as much of that bickering about some of those teams, but I think it'll just competition-wise and, you know, creating a really good competitive atmosphere, I think that's going to help things out a lot.
On the football side of things, like you said, like we're talking off the air before we came on, again, we're talking with Brock McMillan, the AD and head football coach at Rock Hills High School. Football's not going to change much for you guys. I mean, it's still going to be the amount of eight-man schools, however many there are. They're going to split them in half, and you're going to play. But another rule that's kind of been coming into effect with football is that state championship game is going to be on the same weekend as 11-man. As a coach, how much do you like that to where you're not having to play those three games in 10 days? And that's one of the things that a lot of people are talking about if you're fortunate enough to make it that far.
Yeah, I know a lot of coaches have expressed their thoughts on that over the last few years where, you know, you've got to – you know, end your season on a Thursday, and if you are able to make the playoffs, you got, you know, very, very limited time to get film from a team that you might be all the way across the state from. You've got to, you know, get film and start breaking that stuff down and have practices and still, you know, follow under the Acacia guidelines, and then boom, it's Tuesday and you're playing again, and then you swing back around and play that weekend. So that's going to eliminate that. I think, you know, the reason that really got switched around back in the day was just trying to give eight-man football more of their own identity and kind of giving them their own weekend to shine. But I think, in recent years, I think that has, you know, had a little bit more time to prepare and, you know, getting back on that regular, the 1-6A schedule and having that same weekend, I think that's going to probably take a little bit of stress off some of the eight-man coaches as far as preparing for opponents and just having a little bit more time to rest and get ready.
So you're not going to Clifton Clyde on a Thursday and then going to Berlin game on a Tuesday, right?
Yeah, something like that.
So, Brock McMillan joining us again here on Katy Country 94. Coach, we thank you for the time. He's also, again, the athletic director there at Rock Hills High School. Just kind of wanted to get some thoughts from some of the area people that this is going to affect, and we certainly thank you for taking some time to talk about it with us.
All right, thank you.
Welcome back on Katy Country 94 Sports. We're joined now by Kyle Beisner. He's the athletic director over at Beloit Junior and Senior High School. First of all, Kyle, thanks for taking some time to join us here on Katy Country 94. One of the biggest things, obviously, what we're talking about right now, it's weird to be talking about it in June because usually we're talking about high school sports in September through May, but you do have now the reclassification that has just been voted through by the member schools, the Kansas State High School Activities Association, which is going to change quite a bit, and we've gone through most of that. We kind of want to first go over how that affects Beloit High School because there are now 36 teams in regular classifications in 6A, 5A, and 4A, which means in the end with 64 3A schools, there's going to be a lot of those 4A schools that will bump down into your 3A division. Right now it looks like you'll be probably middle of the pack 3A, but overall, what you look at, how does this affect Beloit as a whole when they do the reclassification starting in 2018-19?
Well, for the most part, like you said, in the overall classification, not talking about football, it adds in the bottom of what right now is 4A and then kicks out the bottom of 3A. So numbers-wise, it's the same. It might change what we look at as far as postseason play and where we end up traveling. We'll potentially see some new teams and different things in that way. But I would say overall classifications, what will affect the most is postseason play.
And you talk about, again, there's also the football proposal here where 215 schools voted in favor of that and only 73 opposed. It didn't seem like there was going to be a whole lot of opposition to that one, and that came to the truth and fruition there. Just looking at football, there's going to be 48 schools in your 3A and 2A divisions now, so that'll change the numbers a little bit, and depending on what you guys have, it could possibly in the near future bump you down to 2A at some point. What do you think about those football things and how that is different from the regular the other sports other than football in the reclassification?
Well, the people that have been paying attention to all this reclassification talk know that 3A was kind of a driving force in the football one, just based on the 3 games in 10 days situation and kind of player safety that has come to the forefront. And it was something definitely that Beloit had been, something in favor of, getting rid of those 3 games in 10 days. And when you look at it, like you said, going to 48 schools, again, it'll affect postseason play in that way. But, for Beloit, it does. It bumps us down to the bottom of the 3A pool, it looks like right now. But, it's kind of one of those things where however they were going to reclassify is not going to please everybody. And it did fix some problems that needed fixed. And it gets down to the point now, and talking to Coach Gober, who's talked to me already about it, you have to beat who's in front of you. So if you're fortunate enough to make it to postseason play, you can't worry about, being the smaller group in 3A or whatnot. You're going to play who's in front of you and go from there. But it definitely, like you said, there's potential, depending on enrollment and whatnot over the next few years, that based on projections, Beloit's toward the bottom and within 5 or 6 students maybe the cut line right now. So there's a chance to eventually be in 2A.
Going back to the regular classifications, and you talked a little bit about the changes that you might see. You got a team like Concordia that's a rival in a lot of sports for you that you might be able to be seeing now in postseason play as well, as it looks like they'd probably be on that cut line that would go down. Other schools include the likes of Colby. Wichita Collegiate's had a lot of success and kind of jumping back and forth from 3A to 4A. It seems like 3A competition is always really tough. And it looks like it might actually get a little bit tougher when you make this change as well.
Right, I definitely would agree. It definitely doesn't make it any easier. And like you said, talking about all the other sports, and you talked about local teams and whatnot. Concordia, I would assume, would be a team we see more in postseason play, whether it be basketball, baseball, some stuff like that. Rock Creek, not really local, but somebody down the road that we haven't seen a lot in postseason play that we might run into now. So that's the biggest thing. And you talk about potentially travel seems to come up a lot, which, again, with 3A being so spread out, I don't think is a very good people use that to deter sometimes possibly seeding postseason play. There's a chance obviously we can end up going to Goodland and Colby and some of those places for postseason play. But like you said, it definitely doesn't make 3A any easier.
I want to get your take on the whole 1A thing as well, because you've been a part of both of these things now, as you were at Lakeside for quite some time and competing in 1A in basketball, 2A at times, but mostly in 1A. With the 117 schools, and like we've talked about, it really is like 107 teams when you get through all the cooperatives, but it's still a high number. What are your thoughts on that and just knowing from being in that situation before?
I joke a lot with people that I have a perspective from top to bottom, being a graduate of Lawrence High and being involved in 6A schools when I went through high school, and then obviously, like you said, 1A at Lakeside for 11 years, and now I've kind of settled in the middle of a 3A school. While the number is large, I think sometimes people forget, you look at 6A now, if you're the bottom of 6A, Mays and Wichita Heights, and some of those schools have 1,000 less kids than the top of 6A. And so in our area, we hear a lot about how it's affected 1A, and it has, but it's affected a lot of the other classifications as well. And I think sometimes we forget, the 6A, serves 43 to 45,000 kids in Kansas, whereas 1A serves, 6,500 kids in Kansas. So while there is more schools, to go through now in postseason play, they have the same opportunity that the other kids and all the classifications have. And I think at the end of the day, it was something Kasia needed to do. I thought, people you've heard probably that, it was silly that Kansas had more state championships than Texas and some of that stuff. And I think, do I think this is the end? Probably not. I know there's still going to be discussions about, private schools, and that's a whole other, ball of wax, what you're going to do with kind of the Wichita Collegiates and Pitt Colgans and stuff of the world. But I think for now, this was probably, again, the best case scenario that we can go through. You're never going to make everybody happy, but I think this, in the end, was probably the best case scenario for Kasia reclassification.
Athletic Director Kyle Beisner at Beloit Junior Senior High School. Some really good insight, I thought, there, Kyle. We appreciate your time, and we'll see how it rolls from here with reclassification.
We sure will. A year away, as they say. So
yep.
We'll figure it out by then, right?
Yep. Thanks, Kyle.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dusty.
And again, we thank Kyle Beisner and Brock McMillan for joining us this morning on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94. One of the points that he brought up there toward the end was that private school thing. There's some kind of multiplier that they were talking about for,
private schools that could change things as well. That's going to come down the road if it possibly does, or if anything comes to fruition on that. It'll be a little while before that would happen. You heard Coach, or not Coach, but Corey Booker talking about that as well when we just briefly talked to him after he was our contestant on Stump the Water side of Wake Up Guys this morning. He's the athletic director at Lakeside High School, and he was kind of talking about that and how interesting that could be too if they talk about multipliers and things of that nature for private schools as well. So we'll keep an eye on that, but right now it's just reclassification. The new proposal is out. If you don't know about the new proposal, you can read all about it at ncksports.com. And again, you can hear our discussion yesterday about reclassification at katycountry94.com on our podcast. I told coaches if they wanted to give me some opinions about it to let me know. And I've had opinions from different coaches and different athletic directors that have come in. Just really kind of looking at that, I did get a message from an athletic director at an NCAA school. I'm not going to use any names here because I don't think that's the point. It's just I think more of the point is to see what other people are thinking about this and not just kind of narrowing it down to just like if I'm just talking about 1A yesterday or if I'm only talking about 6A, but just kind of getting a scope and a gauge from what everybody thinks about what's going on. So, like I say, I did get a comment from an athletic director in the North Central Activities Association that's been part of a lot of different levels of sports in the state of Kansas. And you know, he likes the change. You know, it could change where he's at based on 3A, 2A, and things like that. You know, upper divisions or being in a lower class. It'll definitely change what they're doing in football more than likely. But when you look at it, you know, the numbers are going to fluctuate every year, he says. You know, it might be a difference of, you know, 10, 15 students each year that changes whether you're going to be 2A, 3A. And this is going to change even more when we kind of look at these numbers in football because there's going to be some questions on that as well. But, you know, this AD that I talked to said he's liking it, and he's been part of 1A before. He's kind of like Kyle Beisner. He's been part of 1A. He's been part of 3A, 2A, a lot of different realms, even 4A. So he's in support of this. Talked to a 1A coach yesterday that said he likes this because the competition level will be much higher, and some teams, he feels, didn't really have to earn their spot in a state tournament in the previous about 10 years or 7 years, I guess, since this new 1A split came into effect. Again, this is just a 1A coach that's telling me this because that's where he's competing. So he kind of feels like they didn't really have to earn their spot, and he's including his team in that at times. So, again, you're not going to have total opposition from 1A. There was a lot of opposition from 1A, obviously with 65 no votes and 31 yeses on the complete on the all sports other than football. On that part of it, which had more opposition than the football vote, as we've talked about with both Brock McMillan and Kyle Beisner this morning as well. So that was another coach that, again, tells me that 1A, you know, he wants to present something on the side that not all 1A schools and coaches are opposed to this change. Another coach that I've talked with in the area says, you know, you get to be a high seed, like a 1 or 2 seed with 5 wins, in, say, on a basketball court at your sub-state. Well, that doesn't mean anything near as much as it would to winning 20. And you don't go to state anyway, but you win 20 and you win a regional and you're passed on the court. And then you come up 2 points short of state. And one of the things we were talking about yesterday was the fact of 1A Division II might be at a disadvantage because they're playing the 1A Division I teams. Well, this coach is telling me they lost to a school at the sub-state championship game after winning their regional and making it to sub-state, and losing their sub-state championship by 2 points to a team that was a clear Division II membership number as far as that was concerned. Definitely a Division II enrollment school. I mean, they're toward the lower part of that as far as that's concerned. So, you know, talk about that and understand he feels that kind of team was more prideful for them than any other state tournament trip could have been had they made it to state as a 2 seed or 3 seed or whatever, with only 5 wins on the court or 6 wins, 7 wins, you know, if that's what you have, and now you're going to state with that losing record that just doesn't look good. This same coach also says one thing to consider, and this is not something that we really talked about yesterday, but we did talk about the numbers, and we're going to put a bow on 1A here and then go into some of the other issues that we might see, not issues, but interesting facts and figures that I've kind of looked up and researched. But one other thing that this 1A coach told me, he says, you know, one thing to consider is this is not also – Is it not also allowing for future happenings? You know, we talked about the 117 number. Will probably be actually about around 107 as far as teams are concerned with consolidations and cooperatives. But, you know, so many of the small schools that this coach is saying that have come to the stark realization that if the state keeps squeezing funding and populations of school-age kids keep dwindling in the tiny towns and the smaller districts, there's just plain not going to be 107 1A teams forever. And he's exactly right on that. There's a reason these cooperatives are bringing that number from 117 down to 107. So that's definitely something to consider as well. There's going to be less and less 1A teams if the climate of education and population keeps going in the same direction as it is. So you're not going to have 117 teams and you're not 117 schools, and you're not going to have 107 teams forever in 1A. Those numbers have kept getting lower and lower as time goes on. There was way more than that when I started here. There's probably some 145 schools probably that would be in this realm of just schools that would be class 1A based on the numbers that are higher. So it's definitely a lot lower than it could be in the past, and clearly it's something that, you know, frustrates some of those 1A schools. But I am here to say that unfortunately some of those 1A schools are not going to be, even the ones that voted no, probably aren't going to be around here 5-10 years from now with continued consolidation and the great point of funding for education. So that's something to consider, too, and the state might be thinking about that as they're making their decisions and putting this classification proposal together and then ended up voting the classification proposal through. This 1A coach that I'm talking about also knows a 6A coach. We've talked a lot about 6A opposition, and we talked about the numbers yesterday that there would be 1,000 more kids in the top 6A compared to the bottom 6A, and Kyle Beisner alluded to that as well. But another thing that he says that the 6A might have voted no to this is because the extra athletes it also brings to the individual sports, like their track athletes, cross country, wrestling, tennis, bowling, that have become so big to them, that might be an issue too. Also, most of the 6A schools are probably in the eastern part of the state, so some of those 6A schools that might have voted no to bringing four more in would be those ones that have to continue to go west and keep going west because they really should be going east, but there's not enough teams out west in 6A. You know, you got Garden Cities of the world, and really, if I'm thinking right, Garden City and Dodge City would be the only ones that would fall under that 6A realm that are out west. So if you continue to have to go west, I mean, Topeka schools are going west. You know, Wichita schools are not western Kansas. They're central Kansas, but they got to go west, those bigger 6A schools that are doing that. So that was another concern. I can't really say much on that. I don't know enough about the 6A realm, but we can say that back to that 1A thing this coach is saying, you know, too often nobody there has truly earned the opportunity that fell in their lap to get to state. And so now if you go back and really even play at substate site, it's just kind of blah. They don't really like it and maybe have to go far away to play substate. This is going to negate some of that. And this is coming from one 1A coach that I talked to. So obviously there's a lot of different opinions on this, and there's a lot of different things that you could talk about that have something to do with reclassification in the state of Kansas from every class, 6A all the way down to 1A. Like we said yesterday, you're not going to get anything that's ever perfect. So we'll close the 1A part of that. We have a couple football notes that we want to talk about. But yesterday, just for fun, yesterday I did a poll on Twitter, and actually it's still going for another couple hours if you want to go vote in that. I'm Dusty40, at Dusty40 on Twitter is my handle there if you want to see that poll that I created and had people voting in yesterday. As of now, I had 47 votes on that, and do know that a lot of my followers are probably from 1A schools, but there's 47 votes. I had the option of yes, no, or indifferent. 45 of the poll question, do you like the new Kansas State High School Activities Association classification model? 45% of those 47 votes said no, 38% yet said yes, and 17% said indifferent. So indifferent means I would put myself probably in the indifferent category because I know that there needed to be a change. but maybe I don't think this system, the way they did it, is perfect with what I think in my mind. Like I said, nobody is going to try to change your opinion or my opinion. That's not what we're trying to do. We're just trying to be informative and give our opinions on the subject as well, because it's, like I said, it is a hot button issue right now in the state of Kansas in high school sports. Again, 45% said no. And 38% yes, 17% were indifferent on my vote yesterday, and continuing into about noon today. Do you like the new Kasha classification model? I've had a lot of questions as far as football is concerned with these new classifications, and I took the time to go ahead and see. Now, your classifications are going to look a lot different just based on one thing for sure, between football and then all other sports other than football, because in football your enrollment only goes 9 through 11 because of the fact that 12 is out of there, because football goes in a two-year cycle. So they only do the freshmen through juniors for the numbers in football. So those numbers are going to be a little bit different than what you might see in all other sports: basketball, tennis, volleyball, wrestling, everything, all other sports other than football, and activities, scholars bowl, debate, forensics, other things that you're competing in that are Kasha-sanctioned events. So the numbers are going to look different in football than they do in all other sports. So I'm going to start in football, because I know there's some people from Beloit that were kind of wondering, well, who's going to be in our class now in football, and who are we going to have to compete against? And then we had some other people that are playing maybe 8-man football, or they're in that 1A level of 11-man, that are wondering, hey, how many teams are going to have to come back from 8-man, because they would be classified as 2A schools now with the new changes, and maybe have to come back from 8-man and start playing 11-man football again? I'm going to answer the first question real easily. The answer to the first question, based on enrollment numbers from last year and the previous cycle in football, is none. I do want to preface all these numbers that I'm talking about. If you go and do your own numbers as far as how many teams are going to be in each class, again, in class 6A, 5A, 4A football, there's going to be 32 teams in each one of those classes. And then in 3A, 2A, there's 48. I have 39 in 1A based on the last cycle of how many teams will be playing there. We do want to note that if you're doing all those numbers yourself and you think, well, I'm one off and have something wrong at the top of 3A, 2A, or 1A, Olathe West is going to be a new school next year in Olathe, and it's pretty much guaranteed, just based on numbers, that they will probably be either a 5A or 6A school. So you don't have to worry about 4A, and then you can knock down that extra school from the bottom of 4A to the top of 3A. So, Beloit fans, you're wondering, again, back to that 11-man, 8-man thing, there should be no changes, because it's a different look because of the way it's set up with 48-48 and then the other 39 playing in 1A. Football's different, too, because you have about 99 teams that are playing 8-man football, too. So that's going to take a lot of your 1A teams out of this equation, so you're going to be left with 39 11-man teams. Again, this is based on who was playing 11-man football in this last cycle. We might see more of these 1A teams go down to 8-man and play 8-man football. And you're looking at lacrosse with an enrollment of 63 at the lowest in 1A as far as that's concerned. And you have teams that are playing in 8-man that have 99 students. So lacrosse is a team that could easily go down to 8-man football. You know, your Donovan West, Centralia, I don't know what they have coming up. But you could see some of these teams head back down. You know, Yates Center was 8-man before, and as was Uniontown. But it looks like their numbers are high enough, they're probably not going to be going back down to 8-man, but I mean, that's just an example. You're going to see some of these teams probably in the next cycle. We see it all the time, and it's what we were talking about a little bit ago. You know, the enrollment goes down, the numbers for football players that are out go down with some of the safety concerns as well. So you're going to see some of these teams from 11-man go back down to 8-man. So again, none of the 8-man football teams, though, based on enrollment from last year, would have to move up and go back into 11-man. Now, that might change with some of those 99 schools. That there used to be a rule that said if you had 100 enrollment, you had to play 11-man football. I don't have that right in front of me right now, what that number is still right now in Kasha. But again, as far as them being 2A schools, none of those will be 2A schools, not one of those teams. Now, you're thinking, well, wait a second, a team like Trigo, for example, that I really actually did get asked about yesterday, my alma mater, Trigo, there in Waukini, they're a 2A school in all other sports other than football. But based on these numbers, now that 1A is a separate class in football, Trigo would be a 1A school in football if they were playing 11-man football, just based on their enrollment numbers. Just kind of looking at what they have, they have a number of 93. So that would put them actually closer to the bottom third of the, actually, it'd be the bottom half probably the middle third of what you would have there in Class 1A right now. So those types of teams, yes, Intrigo will be 2A in all other sports other than football if it came out right now. But none of those teams will have to move back up to 11, man. So that's one of the things that we're looking at in that realm. So, again, that's the answer to that question. Will any 11-man football teams be classified as 2A and have to go back to playing 8-man football? And the answer to that is no. Moving to 3A, though, 3A is interesting because Aaron was texting me yesterday kind of wondering, hey, how does that change what boys' competition is going to be? And we heard Coach or A.D. Beisner talking with him about the fact that Beloit, honestly, not too far from now, if things would go differently, they might be down to 2A. As we look at it right now, Beloit would be the sixth smallest 3A school out of the 48 that are on the list here out of the last classification cycle. So it's going to look a lot different. 3A has always been one of those tough football classes. It's not going to get any easier. I'm going to tell you that. But there will be some of those teams that you see in 3A that will now be 2A that have been powerhouses in Class 3A. But let's go to 3A first because that's what Beloit wants to know. Who maybe are we going to be playing in the playoffs, postseason, when we get further down the road? Well, the top of the list is Andale. They would be the highest 3A school based on the last numbers. Now, again, these numbers might fluctuate. Andale might end up being a very low 4A school in the end of all this. But right now, had it been this cycle for now, if it changed today, Andale would have been the highest enrollment 3A school. And we know that Andale has an outstanding tradition in football. They've won some state championships. They've always been a force in 4A. As well, and that would be one of the teams to look out for. Pratt's a defending champion in 4A Division II last year, and they would be 3A, and they'd actually be like look at the numbers here, they'd be probably like 13th or 14th biggest 3A, so Pratt would be down to 3A. Another private school that you're thinking about that has had a lot of success in football and a lot of success in Topeka in general is Topeka Hayden. They would be the number 3 size 3A school, so that's another team that'd be on the east side, so you wouldn't see them until a state championship if you're Beloit, possibly, more than likely. But you never know. Beloit might move east based on some of these teams that we're looking at, but it wouldn't appear to be that way, but you never know on some of that. Beloit's usually kind of on a cut line sometimes, whether it be Beloit or St. John's, of going east or west or playing some teams that you would consider maybe east as well. So, but Topeka Hayden would be Class 3A. Some other notable teams that would be moving down to Class 3A, we talked to Beisner about Concordia. They would be 3A in football as well. Clay Center from the NCKL would also be Class 3A. Another team that has a rich football tradition, we talked about Topeka Hayden. One of their biggest rivals is Holton, and Holton would now be 3A. And in fact, they'd be right near the middle of the pack in Class 3A, the way it looks right now. Scott City you'd see come back down to 3A. Wichita Collegiate, again, that private school that we were talking about earlier, would also come back down to 3A. Russell would be 3A from the North Stalactitis Association. Nemaha Central, another team that's had a little bit of success on the football field, would still be Class 3A, and TMP Marion from the Mid-Continent League would be 3A. Now, 2A looks actually kind of interesting because you would have the two teams from the Mid-East League that have really been running things in Class 3A out east would now both be 2A. Silver Lake would be in the middle of the Class 2A classifications, and then Rossville would actually be the fourth smallest 2A in the new system. Again, these numbers are all based off of last year's numbers in the last cycle for football. So, again, Rossville would be in Class 2A, as would Silver Lake. Another notable team that would be 2A now would be Conway Springs. Also, Norton from the Mid-Continent League would move to 2A. Southeast of Salina, Minneapolis would both be 2A in football. And Heston and Marysville, a couple notable teams. Sabetha would be the top team based on the old enrollment figures in Class 2A, but again, fluctuation with just about two or three difference toward the bottom of 3A could change that. You could see TMP Marion in Class 2A. You just kind of got to hold out and wait to see. Garden Plain, another team that's had some success in Class 3A in football, would be now 2A again. They've been 2-1A at times in the past, but mostly 3A recently on the football field. And if anybody's interested, Cimarron, where Coach Koenig is headed, they would be moving down to Class 2A as well. So then what does that mean now for 1A? Well, a lot of those 2A teams that we talked about that have had success also would be now 1A. Troy, the defending state champions, and 2-1A would be 1A. Of course, they were always 1A, but you know, now it's not combined. This would be just the 1A class, where you would see Sedgwick at 2-1A. Pittsburgh Colgan would be 2-2. Sedgwick would be 1A, excuse me. Pittsburgh Colgan would be 1A as well. from the Mid-Continent League. Ellis, Oakley, Plainville, Smith Center are all 1A, and Republic County as well as Sacred Heart would be all 1A from the North Central Activities Association. Troy and Centralia, a couple notable teams, as we mentioned, that would move down to Class 1A in football. So it's really interesting to look at those schools and to see, because you know, I had questions yesterday from not only Aaron, but a couple of some other Beloit people that were kind of wondering, well, who would be in Class 3A in football now that we would have to worry about? There's a couple other sports that I think are really interesting when you look at these new classifications. So we're going to toss the football thing to the side now and kind of look at other sports, all other sports other than football, and kind of look at these classifications. You got a wrestling team in Norton that has had a stranglehold on 3-2-1A wrestling. And when you really look at it, there's a chance that could change, because there's a lot of, and I was talking with that 1A coach that I was telling you about. He keeps track of wrestling. The first 1A coach I was telling you about that kind of likes the changes in basketball and the fact that you might have some better state tournaments, basketball, volleyball, and otherwise in Class 1A. But he's like, man, I pay attention to the 4A because I went to a 4A school when I was in high school. He says 4A wrestling has been probably top to bottom one of the best wrestling classes in the state. So 4A wrestling is still going to be good. But 3-2-1A wrestling, if you think it was competitive with the likes of the teams from the Northwest Kansas League and the Nortons of the world, the Smith Centers of the world, and Beloit's had some really good teams in the past as well that have challenged for championships and trophies at state, it's going to get even better in wrestling. I'm going to promise you that. Clay Center right now with the Olathe West thing on the horizon and moving in, Clay Center would be the biggest 3A school, so they would be in that 3-2-1A wrestling. They've had some success in the past in wrestling, but the team that I'm really looking at in wrestling is Colby. They would move down to 3A, so they'd be part of that 3-2-1A ranks, and they can make some noise in 3-2-1A in wrestling, I can promise you that. They obviously have made some noise winning state championships in Class 4A. So you're looking at Colby moving down to 3-2-1A and then challenging Norton, the Nortons of the world, the Hoxies of the world, the other teams from out west that have started to get better in Rossville and Marysville's had success. Hoisington's had some success. And now you're going to bring in Colby and Clay Center, two teams that have had a lot of success in the past in wrestling. Could be very interesting in that sport to see what happens on the mats. So those are just some of the notes that you kind of look at and that are very interesting about reclassification here in the state of Kansas. So also another sport, and those sports that are specializing as individual sports, but you can still try to win team championships in, you're going to see Wichita Collegiate in tennis coming back from 4A down to 3-2-1A. Collegiate has ruled the tennis world when they've been in 3-2-1A so many times. You still have Central Plains, who's been doing good, Conway Springs, and those tennis ranks that have been good. And Collegiate's not only in tennis. They've had good golf teams. They're going to come back down to the 3-2-1A ranks and some of that, and 3A on the golf course and things of that nature. So, again, these are all sports other than football, all activities other than football. So, again, your debate, forensics, Scholars Bowl, all of that is now part of what this new system is, with no split in 1A, and that's what it is right now. All other activities other than football. So it's just kind of interesting to take a look at some of those numbers and see how they fall. Again, in the sports other than football, you have 36 in 6A, 5A, and 4A. And then you'll have 64 in Class 3A and 2A. And then you have the remaining, what would be right now, 117 without any more consolidations, which could happen by then as well. Your number probably, I'm going to bet that your number is not going to be 117 in 1A in a year and a half when the new classifications come out. Again, this goes into effect in 2018-19 for the reclassification in the state of Kansas. So, again, it was a long discussion again today, but today's was more informative than opinion. I kind of wanted to get some of those notes out there that people were wondering about and had questions about, and I appreciate all the questions, and I appreciate, again, Kyle Beisner and Brock McMillan taking some time, and also Corey Booker, even though I put him on the spot here on Stump the Waterside Wake Up Guys this morning, giving me a couple thoughts on what it means here in reclassification for area schools, because we can talk about it as media is all we want, as members of the media, we can talk about it all we want and give our opinions, but the people that it's actually going to affect are the kids that are students first that are going to school in these districts and taking part in these classifications and actually have to go out onto the competitive field or the court or in the classroom in a scholars bowl or forensics and debate and things like that. Those are the ones that are affected, and you want to hear their voice from the people that are leading those athletes and students in their different realms. So I appreciate everybody that's gotten back and given me comments and all the positive feedback and even negative feedback. You know, obviously, like I said yesterday, nobody's going to agree. Nobody's going to think that this is the perfect answer for everything for the Kansas State High School Activities Association. I don't think that's possible. But at least we have some discussion and we can be open about it and everybody can have their opinions and we can listen and understand why they have that opinion. So I think we've done that over the last couple of days and appreciate everybody for taking some time to give me their opinions on reclassification in the state of Kansas.